1,500 feet of track construction with an implant switch. Total project cost for the rail is $210,000. Again, like the Secretary mentioned earlier, the Virginia Department of Economic Development Partnership works hand-in-hand with us and with VDOT on Mr. Estes's program that he administers as well. They're on board with us as well as Norfolk Southern to serve the site. We're looking at $5 million of capital investment by the private industry, by SPIG, a creation of 25 new jobs within the two-year period of the rail access program policies and procedures. This is 400 to 500 annual rail car shipments per year of steel product coming in. Obviously, the outbound will be finished product by truck. Projects are scored, as you know, with the Rail Industrial Access Program. Under that criteria, SPIG scored 61, which is fair out of 100 points. As we said earlier, we'll be coming back to the board for an action item for SPIG Industries. It'll have the $210,000 total project cost. SPIG has requested only $150,000 of that recovery, and that $150,000 will be at 100% state funding. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer them at this time, Mr. Chairman, or any questions that may come up between now and the next meeting, feel free to contact me.
Questions, Mr. Page? Okay, we'll look forward to seeing that next month.
Thank you.
Before we move on to the next three items, are very important. It's an update on the stimulus program, the six-year improvement program, and the budgets for VDOT and DRPT. I did want to recognize Delegate Rosalind Tyler, who is with us today. Delegate Tyler's schedule would not permit her to testify under normal citizens' time, and she did want to spend just a couple of minutes to make some brief remarks to the board about the draft budget. Welcome, Delegate Tyler, and if you can pull that computer screen down, we'll be able to see you just a little bit better. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. My name is Delegate Rosalind Tyler, and I want to thank you so much for allowing me just to take a few moments of your time. I know that you have a very lengthy agenda, so I'm going to be very, very short. I am representative of the 75th District, and the 75th District includes Sussex County, Brunswick County, Greensville County, Lunenburg County, Alawite County, Southampton County, the City of Emporia, and Franklin. I have one of the largest rural districts in the Commonwealth of Virginia, but I stand before you this afternoon on the behalf of Sussex County and their residents. They contacted me regarding the closing of the VDOT Waverly Residency Office located in Waverly, Virginia, which is in Sussex County. This office employs 90 employees and covers 1,040 center line miles, serving the areas of Sussex, Windsor, Alawite, and Smithfield. In 2006, an office was closed in Berlin, Virginia, in Southampton County, which also served my particular district. The county had contacted me regarding the closings because they have a number of concerns, and I just want to voice those concerns here to the board this afternoon. One of their concerns is with the consolidation of the headquarters with the Franklin or with the Williamsburg Residency Office. They feel that it will hinder some of the services that is provided in their particular county. One service they are extremely concerned about, of course, the mooring of the highways, also the safety inspections done in a timely manner. But one concern that we're really, really concerned about is the 460. As you well know, over the number of years, we've had a number of floodings, severe floodings on the 460 highway. And we was wondering, how would this be addressed? Should we have another flooding, how VDOT would respond in a timely manner? And this is one out of their biggest concern. I realize with your state budget cuts, and I guess I'm a part of that cutting as well, and I know you have a lot of difficult decisions to make, but I just want to stand here and voice the concerns on behalf of Sussex County and their residents, and just take a look at the concerns of the rural South Side Virginians. Ours is a little bit different than the urban areas in Hampton Roads and Northern Virginia areas. So I just asked the board this afternoon if you would reconsider and consider the concerns of the closing of the Waverly VDOT residency office. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Delegate Tyler. Continuing on with the work session agenda, we're going to get a very, very brief update on the stimulus project, but it's always good to repeat good news. And what I might recommend in the interest of time while Ms. Buescher is queuing that up is just to focus on the last two pages of the presentation to highlight some actions that will be Ms. Buescher will be asking the board to add five projects to the stimulus project list, and then just give an overall programmatic update. While I'm continuing to buy time for, oh, there she is. Okay. Welcome, Ms. Buescher.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Some of the slides that I'll be that are in my PowerPoint presentation, you've seen a couple times before, but we're trying to keep it as a package each time we present an update the progress we're making. Therefore, the first slide, again, shows the ARRA funds in different categories, the discretionary grant, aviation, rail, public transportation, and today I'm focusing on the highway component, the $27.5 billion nationwide. As we'd indicated previously, the federal project priorities for the highway stimulus money was we had to meet all the federal requirements. We had to make the 50% funding obligation deadline of June 29th, which we have done. The projects they're recommending be completed within 3 years, and they wanted us to make a priority of looking at projects in economically distressed areas, which we have. The Commonwealth program priorities were, again, structurally deficient bridges, deficient pavements, BRAC projects bringing jobs to the Commonwealth, those projects that were canceled or delayed in the six-year program, and the citizen suggestions for projects on the governor's website. Again, we're looking at, this is a summary of the interstate and primary deficient pavements, which would require $1 billion investment to meet these needs. At this time, the bridges, about $3.7 billion to replace all deficient bridge structures at one time, and this depicts where those structures are located. As we've indicated, this has been a somewhat lengthy process to get us here. We've reviewed projects with USDOT and FHWA, the Congressional Delegation, General Assembly Committees, the House Appropriations, and the Joint Commission on Transportation Accountability, through the MPOs, and then localities and advocacy groups. We've taken the citizens' recommendations, the VDOT, DRPT, and MPO recommendations. We've brought them to you for review and approval. We had to go through the TIP amendment process for some of the projects to the MPOs. Then we have to go to the governor for certification of the projects to send to the USDOT, then we're able to obligate the funds through FHWA, and then we're allowed to advertise and execute the projects. So the process, as I said, has been lengthy. Virginia's allocation of the $27.5 billion is $694.5 million. Off the top is 3% set aside for enhancements, which is $20.8 million. $208.4 million is using the STP formula process, and then 67% is allowed for statewide by VDOT at $465.3 million. Again, we had indicated 50% had to be obligated, of the 50% of the discretionary funds had to be obligated within 120 days. And those states who accomplish that may get the benefit of receiving additional distribution from states that who don't reach that milestone. At the April CTB meeting, you approved $328 million in initial paving, bridge, BRAC, rail, and some locally committed projects. You approved $328 million. At the May meeting, we brought to you $204 million additional projects, which you approved, for a combined total of $532 million. The total awarded to VDOT for discretionary allocation by the CTB was $576 million. So looking at the $532 approved, the $576 total, we had about $44 million left to be approved, and we're bringing to you four projects today. Just as a recap, and I'll just flip through these slides fairly quickly, but this is a summary of those projects that you've approved to date. This slide are the eight enhancement projects. We have BRAC projects totaling $96 million, Fort Lee, Fort Belvoir, and Fort Eustis. We have $116 million for structurally deficient and functionally obsolete bridges. The first amount we brought to you was about $66 million. That was 119 small structurally deficient bridges being procured through seven design-build contracts. We added Robertson Bridge, the Route 61 Narrows Bridge, and Route 630 CSX Bridge for a total of $116 million. The deficient pavements, $114.5 million. That was $110.9 million in estimated contract value we initially brought to you. We added Mercury Boulevard at another $3.6 million. Rail project, $61 million, the Route 164 rail relocation, NIT Central Rail Yard in Norfolk, the ACA Yard PE phase, and Route 28 Manassas Rail Grade Crossing. We have highway construction projects to this point of $122.9 million, and you can see the list on this slide. And what we're proposing for your approval tomorrow are these five projects, I-664 pavement, I-581 Elm Avenue, Pacific Avenue, Liberty Avenue, and Route 208.
Mr. Chairman, are these Ms. all King. Pavement projects?
Pavement? No, they aren't.
Could they identify where Liberty is?
Sure, I can do that very quickly. 664 is concrete repair in Hampton Roads. 581 Elm Avenue is in the Roanoke area. It's Elm Avenue. It's an important connector in the Roanoke area. Pacific Avenue is just to the west of Route 28 in Loudoun County. Liberty Avenue is an urban street project in the city of Martinsville. And Route 208 is the courthouse road bypass in Spotsylvania County. What Ms. Busher is about ready to say, but I'll say it probably a lot less politely, she is, there is more project here than there is money left. So this is contingency. It's making sure that there are enough projects to fully obligate every penny of federal dollars.
Can you give us an idea of just sort of what that delta is? Or is this like $200 million worth of projects, and I think it's $52 million left?
Yeah. There's $44 million left. These projects add up to about $53
million.
We also had some additional paving projects that were awarded. Our bids were coming in on the pavement projects about 20% less than the estimate. So we'll look at the combination as the bids come in, as we award, and work down the list of what's available. But we're just continuing to try to meet our timelines. So this is more projects than dollars based on the estimate.
But if those estimates come in as, and we have seen some pretty good prices, do we still have enough projects here to be sure we can fully capitalize or take advantage of the obligating authority?
We believe we do.
Okay.
In summary, as I said, the CTP has approved $532 million in projects. That was as of last meeting. We're recommending the approval of the projects that we just previously reviewed, totaling $52.7 million. And the governor has, in fact, certified projects totaling $472 million to date. And we have, as I announced earlier, obligated $287 million, which is $40 million greater than the amount we were required to obligate in 120 days. And we have 246 million projects on the street, of which 81 million has been awarded.
The action tomorrow will be the final action by the CTB with respect to the Recovery Act funding and the designation of the final five projects. As Ms. Buescher indicated, we've got $246 million worth of advertisements and $81 million worth of projects under contract. So work is underway on time, on budget, in the program. This is very important. I just, again, to put this in perspective, you all are familiar. This is a whole another six-year program that has been developed in about 60 days. And to go through the approval processes at the local, the regional, the congressional, and then the federal approval process is really an amazing piece of work, Commissioner. And I know you have recognized your staff, and the governor will too, but the stimulus program is on time and on budget.
Yes, I'd like to say so too. Not only that, but it was very we consulted with lots and lots of people along the way. This was not Secretary Homer's program. It wasn't any one of our own program. But I have a follow-up question from last month when we gave the commissioner discretion to approve projects. Have they moved along? That was a yes.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. McCarthy, yes, we'll be reporting on those again tomorrow as a part of the bid awards. As I promised, we'll report back to the board now on the authorizations that I've followed through on for you.
I think this has been a pretty thoughtful exercise, producing a very sound mix of projects that the criticism, what little I've heard, has been, you know, what's taken you so long? And I don't think it's taken that long. I think we got a pretty fine program as a result of doing it right, not necessarily doing it the fastest.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, Ms. Coolman.
Mr. Chairman, I too want to thank you for this. I think we all learned a lot during the process, which is that other parts of our process may actually be artificially elongated. Fact is, no one would want us to have to focus like we've had to focus because of the cascading downward spiral of revenues. But it did sort of let us all cut out some of the nonsense and focus on where we really saw the best returns. It changed the conversation to a much more business-like conversation, and I'd like to see that continue. I'm not saying that we need to adopt this new process all the time, but I think we need to be aware of the focus. A lot of us and a lot of other people put aside some of their pettier arguments in the process, and I think that helped it work. So thanks for the leadership there. Thanks to my colleagues, too. I know it was not easy.
Any other questions or comments? Again, I just think the last page of this is such a succinct summary. If you're asked back in your community, we got 240, almost a quarter of $1 billion of projects on the street under advertisement and $81 million of contract awards. That's something a small business can take to the bank, get a loan, not have to lay off people. This is very, very important work. Thank you, Ms. Buescher. And now, from the cheery to the less than cheery is the next item on the agenda. Item number seven is the six-year improvement program, and we're going to have a joint presentation by Rita Buescher and Steve Pitter, the Chief Financial Officer at DRPT. And in continuing with a lot of our discussions, we've gotten very good at cutting budgets, projects, and programs. I think all of us would have preferred not to have taken the steps we have to take, but if we have to make cuts of this magnitude, we have done it in the right way. And it has been in a very, again, open but painful process. Welcome, Ms. Buescher.
Thank you. I'll start off with the chart of the combined total recommended six-year improvement program for fiscal year 10 through 15. It changed just slightly from the draft that you saw last month for a total of $5.5 billion for highway and $2 billion for rail and public transportation. I'll speak to highway first, and then Mr. Pittard will come up. When we started revising our six-year improvement program for the 9 through 14, we revised our highway program strategy. Basically, we needed to maximize use of federal funds as the state revenues continued to decline. Our goal was to fund projects that were already federally approved to draw down all federal funds for federal fiscal year 2009. We also wanted to keep funded underway project phases as well as project phases that would be started in federal fiscal year 2009 to meet what we call our federal strategy, and that's to draw down all the federal dollars that has been apportioned to Virginia. And most importantly, we were focused on construction phases, but we did, if we had PE and right-of-way projects that were underway, we made sure they stayed funded. And last but not least, we were looking to fund safety projects, bridge and reconstruction projects of existing infrastructure were the priorities if there were funding available after meeting project phases underway in those projects that were already approved for federal dollars. I said this at the last board meeting, and I guess I felt it was worth repeating. This has been another difficult six-year improvement program. We've done two in 6 months. After reducing the highway program by $2 billion, we still face some serious programming issues with the 10 through 15 update. And as state revenue reductions continue to fall, as we believe we will hear with the next Department of Taxation update, we're also concerned about the state of the federal revenue dollars and whether they will bail out the Transportation Trust Fund again, and what will happen with reauthorization. As you know, the revision of the 2009 through 14 improvement program reduced funding on 808 projects or project phases, the bulk of which were on the secondary and urban systems. In the development of the 2010 through 15 program, we had to review previous project allocations on the interstate to help fund federally qualifying projects to obligate all of our federal funds for federal fiscal year 2009. So as I showed you last month, we moved a little over $90 million from previous dollars on the interstate from all districts to the Richmond District to help fund the 95 bridges and the 64 pavement projects that are ready to go to help us make strategy. The sustainability of the six-year improvement program is still in question. To date, we're looking at state funds only to match federal dollars and fund state-mandated programs. We have eliminated the state formula distributions for unpaved roads, primary, secondary, and urban systems. Our planned use of the CPR or House Bill 3202 bonds have been reduced, as we've indicated, and at this point we're only supporting transit, rail, federal match, and a few construction projects. And we're proposing the elimination of $35 million or the bond component on the revenue sharing program in fiscal year 2012. The STP federal formula funding by population will no longer be distributed to localities in fiscal year 2011. The CTB will allocate those funds going forward. And we interstate previous dollars to projects to maximize federal funds. As I said, from the draft, this chart only changed in terms of the MPO line item that went from 0.5 to 0.6 billion. All the other dollars have balances have remained the same, for a total of going from $5.4 billion to $5.5 billion. This is how the reductions play out. It totals approximately $538 million. $73 million in interstate, $273 million in primary, $118 million in secondary, $147 million in urban, and a slight uptick in other, which relates to the MPO dollars. I will turn the program over to Mr. Pittard. I'll be happy to answer any questions, or we can both answer questions
at the end. Let's take those at the end, please. Okay. Welcome, Mr. Pittard.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Ms. Busher. Members of the board, I'm going to quickly take you through an overview of the program and then delve slightly down into the transit program, the rail program, and talk a little bit about the Stellus project and conclude with a few housekeeping items. Overall, this slide, same as presented last month, in the current year, we do show a large decrease, but that's primarily because of the transition of the Metrorail project to being managed by the Airports Authority. As you can see, it's about an $800 million decrease, which parallels the decrease in the program overall. There are slight decreases in both transit and rail, which both are revenue reductions, and then more importantly, in the out 3 years of our program, we have reduced the amount of transit bonds that are allocated to mirror up to the reduction in the revenues and that bonding capacity from the $3 billion that was originally anticipated to about $2.1 billion under the current estimates. Just some overall highlights. Probably one of the two bright spots in the program is the 78% state match for our transit capital program. It's the highest in over a decade, and really is a culmination of the efforts by the Governor and General Assembly to bring more funding to the transit properties that we represent. It's quite frankly, at 78%, we're approaching, there's a mandatory or a statutory limit of 95% in our mass transit trust fund. And in our transit capital fund, that's limited at 80%. So that blended rate of 78% is approaching the maximum level allowed within the state under current regulation. The next item is the impact of the recordation tax. We're glad that that was programmed to transit operations. When that was programmed, the hope was that we would be increasing state's share. Unfortunately, with the revenue reductions, we're just holding our own or potentially seeing a slight decrease in what the state's able to contribute towards operations of transit entities. The third bullet here is the other real bright spot, which is the funding of the demonstration passenger service, as Mr. Badger went over earlier. Also, we have allocations in the program following our rail resource allocation plan. And as I mentioned on the first slide, we have a reduction overall, primarily due to the transitioning of the Dulles project. This slide is the corrected slide from the last month with the first 2 years now adding to 100%. But it mirrors what I just said, which is fare box recoveries, which is passenger fares, been relatively consistent, around 43%. Federal funds, 9-10%. And then you see the state funds having shown a slight decrease over the last 8 years, 7 years. And in converse, the localities have to make that up. This slide shows our overall percentage share of transit operations. It's broken down one by overall share, which is the orange line, which has ranged in a pretty tight band over the last 8 years from about 21-22% to 18% in the current year. And then the blue line is the state share of actual eligible costs that the state can participate in sharing the cost of. And that has been ranged from anywhere from 50% to the 40% that we see today. This is just a graphical representation of the 78% blended match and showing a historical perspective that obviously that's a bright spot for us all today. some of the items, the larger items in the program from the transit side, the Metro Rail project contingency received some state funding. We are looking at bus rapid transit service in the Richmond area, doing an alternatives analysis, fully funding the Norfolk Light Rail project. Some new service is being looked at, being started in Haymarket, Virginia, participating in locomotive purchases for VRE. And finally, the state of good repair funding using our bonds for the Metro Matters program. Under the rail program, we have $217 million over 14 projects in the enhancement fund. These are primarily centered with what Mr. Badger spoke of earlier in the I-95, I-81, Route 29 rail corridors. We also fund the Crescent Corridor Initiative, which is Norfolk Southern's freight initiative, and the National Gateway Initiative, which is CSX's freight intermodal initiative. Also, we have funding for intercity passenger rail, funding for port-related projects, VRE commuter rail, and then also some planning funds for Southeast High-Speed Rail. Rail preservation programs is about $30 million programmed over the 6 years. This essentially is a program that serves to try to preserve the short line railroads in Virginia. Primarily, this is ballast railroad tie rail replacement projects, sometimes related to a bridge. And one point to note here is there are sometimes some passenger-related benefits from this program, as in the Charlottesville area with the Cardinal service. There's a project there that helps out that Amtrak service. And finally, the demonstration service. It's a three-year service. We have about $17 million set aside for 10 and 11 and 12 combined to help subsidize that service. As Mr. Badger mentioned earlier, at the end of those 3 years, assuming the project to be successful, the board and DRPT will need to identify a permanent source for this subsidy. And finally, just a few other items. We were directed by the General Assembly and the Governor and the Appropriation Act to incorporate principles of asset management, public benefit, transit sustainability, and maintenance of effort. And we will be issuing a report by the end of the month to yourselves, the General Assembly, and the Governor that indicate we have done that. Also, the ARRA funding, I just wanted to speak on that for a moment. You know, we had an allocation that was supplemental to the 09 program back in April. And we're looking to do a supplemental application process in late summer, so August time frame, and then come back to the board to allocate the remaining, I think it's about $14 million of ARRA funds in October time frame. As far as the obligation authority, we had 100, FTA provided us 180 days to get our projects obligated, as opposed to the 120 that Highways had stipulated. And at the current time, we're over the 50%. What y'all have allocated projects to is over 50%. We're working through a few more TIP amendments. And then at that point, we're in the process now of the items that have cleared the TIP process. We're working with the FTA right now to hopefully get our application approved by FTA. So hopefully we won't be too much further down the road, but we do have till August 29th, I believe, is the cutoff. And finally, there were some minor technical corrections. Overall, the funding dollars have not changed. And when I say a technical correction, it could be something as simple as we found we had in our construction district detail, we might have had a project listed as City of Fairfax, and it should have been the County of Fairfax. So it's just making a minor technical correction. And with that, we'll be glad to answer any questions.
Okay. Just to remind folks, and I hope there are questions, this is a very consequential program, but out of the $2.6 billion we need to take out of our six-year construction and maintenance program, 72% is coming out of the highway construction program within VDOT. The transfer of Dulles Rail makes the DRPT budget look a little smaller, but in fact, in the grand scheme of things, DRPT between rail and transit capital has done rather well. We still have some work to do downstream for transit and rail operations, as we talked about. But I think anyone looking at the highway component of this would say that this is not a healthy program. So I hope there are questions about the implications of this program. And we'll be talking about services and operations in the next presentation about maintenance and operations. Mr. Kulemake.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Ms. Fisher, I had a question about slide 7. It's a pretty direct statement, eliminated state formula distributions for unpaved roads, primary, secondary, and urban systems. Is that just because there was no money?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that was zero money.
Yes,
so we
sir.
Didn't actually make a policy change there. It's just once we register our other priorities, there just was no money left.
This formula, state formula distribution, is basically at the end of the distributions of state dollars. And when we got to that point, there wasn't anything left.
Right. The second question
is... Ms. Kulemake, could I... Yeah. There's a little bit more nuance and history there in that I believe it was last year that we eliminated the state dollars going through the formula, or was that during the February revision?
It was the February revision.
Okay, so we've already taken action. You know, everybody's been fighting over the allocation formula since 1986. There's no allocation left to fight over. All right? What is happening here is there were also some federal dollars that went through, that were distributed down to the local level. And those are necessary to meet, they're spread so thin, you don't aggregate those into a meaningful project. And so those are being essentially treated as regional funds and will be allocated by this body, but based on the federal formulas. So from the perspective of, Lee County Board of Supervisors or Fairfax Board of Supervisors, they're in the history of every December holding a public hearing how to allocate their secondary funds, or the City of Martinsville or City of Alexandria do their urban funds. There is nothing left to allocate. And this is a profound step, not just in transportation, but in state and local relations. And if we are serious about land use and integrating transportation and land use, we're telling localities you still have land use, but no ability to do transportation alongside there. So I'm very glad you asked that question, but in the historical suite, this is a very, very significant step.
So, Mr. Chairman, would you say this proves that even the General Assembly is not immune from the vagaries of the world?
I would choose not to speculate on that.
I think you probably wouldn't want to speculate on that. Second question I had relates to the rail program. It would be slides 13 and 14. Obviously, we're very pleased to see that we have such a high percentage on the capital side, but our problem has been on the operation and maintenance side. Are we building in a fall for ourselves that, you know, we're going to have equipment that localities and others don't really have the capacity to use beyond this narrow window?
You're referring to the transit operations?
Yes.
Yeah. That is the worry, because obviously, when state revenues are being pinched, local revenues are being pinched also. Some of this has been built up with ridership growing, so obviously that's a positive. And then also some of this is stemming from $4 a gallon gasoline, which the one positive...
Coming back.
Well, I was going to say the one positive is the 10 budgets. You know, some of that's still built in there. The negative is, like you said, it's coming back. So... the long and short of it is, yeah, eventually there is a dilemma that do you buy a new bus, but if you can't operate it, you know, do you buy that new bus?
So the final question is about with this chart. You've given us a good historical explanation, but how do you project this out over the six-year plan from FY10 going forward? Does it stay flat, absent any changes? Does it tend to decline? Do certain things change significantly?
I'm not going to give you the answer you want, but for operations, we actually are not projecting out the allocations to our different properties. It's actually done every year for the next year. Otherwise, we're taking the Mass Transit Trust Fund revenues and the recordation tax revenues estimates and saying that's what the amount is that we're going to allocate, which is by law.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sterling, did you have a question?
No.
Any other questions or comments? Well, I just want to, Mr. Dickens.
Yes, sir. As you are aware, at the public hearing in Hampton Roads, there was some numbers generated from the Planning District Commission that gave one the impression that Hampton Roads was on the short end of the stick, if you will, relative to interstate allocations. And I think everybody understands that the interstate allocations are fully discretionary. But I and many others in the region were interested in some explanations as to why those numbers looked the way they did. And I haven't been able to get any explanation. I wonder if you could help me with that, please, sir.
Sure. We're working on, I think it's as we know, it's a distortion to pick any one track of funds and compare that. The issue in the interstate program has really been Ms. Buescher calls federal strategy, to find projects that are ready to go. And our decision role in the six-year program was finding projects that can be brought to obligated, remember that term, and to construction. There were a number of projects in the Hampton Roads area, several of them, in fact, that were about 20% funded. And I say shame on us for maybe not picking one, and shame on the region for not picking one. The reality is, with the interstate funding, and with due respect to Mr. McCarthy, he had in his district projects of bridge rehabilitation that were ready to go. And so virtually every district lost some funding to go to make that project work. And we had to do that, or the alternative was leaving federal dollars on the table. And so, again, this comes back to the ever-present Alan Witt, who said we got to have fewer projects and they have to be ready to go. I think there's a lesson here for all of us, and I would say to the Hampton Roads region with respect to interstate funding, the key will be have one number one project and not six. And for us to, if the region will not make those choices, then I think we need to do that here. And it is, I think, unfortunate. Those are very, very important. The Hampton Roads region is probably more dependent on its interstate system than any other part of the state. But if we 20% funded 264 improvements and 664 and 64 on the peninsula and a number of other bridges, we did not bring that to fruition. And so the decision rule at the beginning of this process was, if it's in PE, finish PE. If it's in right-of-way, finish right-of-way. If it's in construction, bring it to a conclusion. And I think you see the results of that. I would also say, though, in doing that kind of district analysis, you have to look at all funding streams. So the Hampton Roads area gets the lion's share of urban funding and does very well under the maintenance formula. So I think when you add all those things in, despite the reductions in the interstate program, you come out with a more complete and less shocking picture.
Okay, if I could follow up. So what you're saying is that because the region did the hard political will stuff of developing a network and trying to stick to solving that network, that we are getting we're not getting as much as we might have if we selected one project. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's in a world of diminishing and even growing resources, having one priority is always more likely to get funded than having six priorities.
Yeah. So no good deed goes unpunished?
I wouldn't use that phrase. I think it's probably a lesson learned.
Yeah. Well, you're kind enough to come Friday morning to speak to our organization, so I would encourage you to be prepared to respond to that.
Okay.
To that issue.
Thank you. Other questions and comments? Okay, on to the next cheery topic, which is the VDOT budget and blueprint update with Ms. Buescher and Ms. Sorrell. Commissioner, do you want to do any introductory comments to this?
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. As a part of the conversation that will go on this afternoon around this particular topic item, this will result in a resolution and for adoption by the board tomorrow, which will implement the service policy direction of the board that is reflected in the budget presentation you'll see this afternoon. So it is the second leg of the blueprint that we have been discussing and that we are advancing and on which I'm giving you monthly reports. So as you've just done and we'll discuss again tomorrow, the implementation of the construction leg of the program, this will start to put in play the implementation of the service reductions that we took to public hearing in March. That will be the core portion of what you see on the maintenance and operations side of the redistribution. In the next 4 weeks, then, I'll start to bring back to the board then the organizational implications as we're readjusting the department for the third leg of the stool. So this becomes a very critical conversation, and you'll see that reflected for the first time in a budget resolution tomorrow before the board, which does in fact put in place the policy performance for expectations around the service areas that are being affected by this budget. And for a quick reminder, and Ms. Sorrell will get at those, that talks about pavement condition targets, it talks about the rest area program, ferry services, safety service patrols, and the implementation of our vegetation management practices.
The fiscal year 2010 budget for VDOT. As you all are very aware, the CTV requirements related to the budget process, as outlined by the code and the Appropriation Act, require the CTB to maintain existing transportation assets to ensure safety of the traveling public, first priority, to set aside defined portions of the Transportation Trust Fund for the Commonwealth Port Fund, the Commonwealth Airport Fund, and the Commonwealth Mass Transit Fund, to allocate available funds according to formula for construction on the interstate, primary, secondary, and urban state highway system, review and comment on budget items not specifically enumerated to the CTB by statute, and to adopt a six-year improvement program by July 1. The Commonwealth Transportation Fund fiscal years 2010 through 2015 six-year financial plan will allocate $23.4 billion over the six-year period. Now, just a brief history. In fiscal year 2008 through 13, that plan totaled $28.1 billion. In the original 9 through 14, $27.3 billion. In the revised 9 through 14 plan, $24.4 billion. And today, 10 through 15, $23.4 billion. Now, the 10 through 15 six-year financial plan is based on the December 2008 official state transportation revenue forecast. So it's the same forecast that we had for the revised 9 through 14. But as you know, we are anticipating in the fall, or early fall, a revenue estimate update. And in the recent news, that appears to be continuing to decline a little bit more. As we've indicated before, the planned use of CPR bonds have been reduced, and as I said in the six-year program presentation, we're applying those bonds to support transit and rail projects as federal match and some identified construction project needs. The federal revenue is based on the federal fiscal year 2009 apportionments, with a growth rate equal to the estimated growth in fuel consumption per the Department of Taxation of only 0.6%. But again, this is based on 2009 apportionments. We're not certain where we'll be if the Transportation Trust Fund runs out of cash or when the new authorization occurs, what that might look like in terms of apportionment. This is a chart that we provide you each year. It is a summary of the revenue categories for the Commonwealth Transportation Fund. As I indicated, this adds over the 6 years to $23.4 billion. Federal fiscal year 10 totals $3.8 billion. And it's a small decline in 2011 of $3.83. Then it starts a small incline, and it's approximately 2.5% increase year over year starting in 11. So the 3.83, 3.84, 3.89939 39 for a total of 23.4. We still have our federal revenue reserve at a little over $100 million a year, so approximately $600 million of this federal revenue total over the 6 years is not being allocated to projects. We're holding it in reserve, waiting to see what the federal revenue picture will look like. On the allocation side, we again show this chart by allocation categories with the debt service, transfers to other agencies, the maintenance operations, which includes the payments to localities, tolls and administration and other programs, the public transportation and rail, ports, earmarks and special funding, which would include bonds, and then highway construction. So this is how the $3.85 billion in revenue in 2010 plays out for the Commonwealth Transportation Fund by category. This pie chart narrows the focus to the 2010 proposed budget for the Commonwealth Transportation Fund. This revenue, as I said, totals $3.85 billion, down 8.6% from the revised fiscal year 2009 budget of $4.22 billion. And just as a reference on this chart, when we talk about the special session revenue, that's the TTF. So HMOF, about 35%, federal 23.9%, TTF about 22.9%. Now, the proposed allocations in of the CTF for 2010 breaks down this way: highway maintenance and operations at $1.7 billion now equates to 44%. In the fiscal year 9 revised and original, this was 36%. But as the pie shrinks and the construction program shrinks, the percentage automatically goes up in the highway maintenance and operations. You'll see highway construction at 17%. You really need to look at that in combination with earmarks and special financing at 10%. In 2009, that was 21% for construction and 6% for earmarks. So unfortunately, we hate to see earmarks increase. The highlights for VDOT's 2010 proposed budget. Of the Commonwealth Transportation Fund, VDOT's 2010 budget totals $3.47 billion, compared to $3.45 billion in revised federal fiscal 09. Now, compared to original 09, original 09 was 3.79. I know I'm throwing out a lot of numbers, but this is 3.47. It's a slight increase over the revised 09 of about mainly related to Northern Virginia Transportation District bonds that they're selling in 10, about $65 million for, I think it's three projects in Nova. So that sort of inflates the revenue picture on for VDOT in 2010, and then you'll see it drop off in the next slide in 11 through 12. The budget reflects the impacts of the reductions in transportation revenues over the last couple of years. It does incorporate the blueprint reductions for the construction program, organization and staffing, some facility consolidations that are being considered, and other internal projects and programs. And as we mentioned before, no funding is available for distribution through the state allocation formula. Now, to see this a little bit more clearly by category, this chart shows the comparison from revised 09 to 10. And what you see here is approximately an $18 million increase. And again, that would be a decline if it hadn't been for a $65 million Northern Virginia Transportation District bond issue. So as you can see, again, from the VDOT standpoint alone, again, maintenance and operations is now at 49%. In 09 original and revised, that was 44%. Construction went from 26% down to 19. Earmarks actually went up from 9% to 11%. From a program perspective, again, this is how it breaks down. You see the reduction in highway system acquisition and construction. You see the increase in highway system maintenance, which is somewhat deceiving in that the original 09 maintenance budget was $1.3 billion as well. So you're looking at $1.359 billion in maintenance, not counting the financial assistance to localities, which is showing a slight increase, which is an increase of approximately 3%, which is the increase that VDOT used for its own maintenance program, down from the 4% we had done historically.
Excuse me. The increase 2010 over 09 in maintenance systems was, again, attributed to what?
When we had to go in and balance the 09 budget with the state revenue reductions, most of that came from not only the construction program, but also the maintenance program. So how much? So the revised 2009 maintenance program was 1.1. The original 09 maintenance program was 1.3. So in 10, we've taken more out of the construction program. We've eliminated the state formula distribution, and the maintenance is back at $1.3 billion. But we have redirected that to meet performance measures to maintain our existing infrastructure. And Connie will speak to that in a little bit in more detail. The Commonwealth toll facility reduction you see there is the transfer of Dulles to MWA. To just get down to some of the deeper levels in the construction and maintenance component, here you see the highway construction by interstate, primary, secondary, and urban. And what you can see here is the impact of the elimination of the formula in the primary, secondary, and urban programs. That's why you're seeing the bulk of the reductions of $107 million, $52 million, and $88 million in those programs versus the interstate, which has been a slight reduction.
Rita?
Yes.
On that one of those categories kind of fits under the grouping of doesn't look like the others, which is dedicated statewide construction. It's gone up significantly versus the others. Can you talk about what specifically happened in there with the variety of programs?
The bulk of that is the 2010 omnibus earmarks.
Okay. So it's primarily federal earmarks.
Correct.
That did that? Okay.
On the maintenance side, including the city and county maintenance payments, about 49% of the VDOT budget, as I said, is the maintenance and operations program, with an average growth in future years of 3%. This shows that from 2010 through 15, by the VDOT maintenance component and then the cities and counties maintenance component. So $1,359 in 10, $348 for the maintenance payments for a total of $1,007,000, with slight increases going forward.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question? Could you logically say then that the earmarks actually, with the way we made decisions, eliminated all the primary, secondary, and urban funds? It's about $125 million.
I'm sorry, please ask me that again.
Would it be a fair statement to say that the earmarks in 2010 in effect have eliminated the primary, secondary, and urban allocations?
No,